Good evening, one and all. Another week, yes, and well into September. I tell you, it goes so quickly, I can't keep up with it. Well, here in Connecticut, where I am, we survived the we survived the hurricane that never really happened, but then we survived the floods. I tell you what, it was a little bit like Little House on the Prairie here, with my little vegetable plot going out there to try and rescue the crops before they got washed away. It's like an Ingalls household all over again. But I am here, and so is my guest. Now, you may have heard, I've mentioned it a few times on the shows in the past, that I am basically what the black sheep of my family. My sister, my brother-in-law, my nieces, my nephews are all teachers. I'm not a teacher, but then I can't spell. So that's me gone for a burn. Anyway, but yes, but my guest today, not only was he a teacher, but he's used that experience and that knowledge to produce some great books. We better find out about it, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Randy Overbeck. Hi, Randy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm thrilled to be on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show, Randy. As I said, you've had a long experience, 3 decades or so, I should think. I think it was as a teacher, professor, school leader, and I guess your love for writing, did that come along with that, or were you one of these people that as soon as you could hold a crayon, you were jotting down little stories?
I was always a writer from the youngest age I can remember, and when I was in high school, I contemplated the idea of trying to be a writer full time, but I had a great pull toward education and serving children, so I did that for 39 years altogether.
Wow!
And during that time, kind of kept cultivating my writing, so that by the time I was finished, I had stories to share.
Right. See, I always class myself as a storyteller rather than a writer, because without spell check, I'd get nowhere these days. I think it's all part of like a creative gene, you know, whether you're creative in writing, you're creative in painting or in sculpture or something like that, you've got that creativity. And I think teachers have to have that for a start, because, you know, if you haven't got a creativity for a lesson, then you lose the students in the first 2 minutes sort of thing. So, I mean, it's interesting, a number of people that have come from, you know, along that path. What sort of genre were you interested in those days?
I was always kind of a mystery thriller reader, and then trying my hand at some of those. I remember I did a kind of a mystery short story when I was in high school that got some recognition. So that was always where I was kind of leaning toward. I'm a very eclectic reader, but those are my two preferred genres, is thriller and mystery.
Because I'm sure you're part of the mystery writers group, aren't you? I'm sure I read somewhere that you were.
I am. I'm a member of Mystery Writers of America.
Yeah. You know? We've had quite a few from that on the show, so interesting. But what I was saying about using your experience in the education system, haven't you managed to sort of bring in some of the characters or the experiences, characters in the books?
Yes, many of my characters are based on actual, real individuals that I met in my 30 plus years career. Now, fictionalized, of course, and they're different.
Yeah.
But they're often composites of teachers or principals or administrators or parents or board members. All of those that you see in the book are based on real people that I've dealt with over my career.
Well, yeah, people say, you know, write about what you know. And, you know, in my case, I know about the issues of moving from England to America and the language issues and everything else like that. So, yeah, I was able to do that. And it's like you with your experience and, you know, people along the way, everybody sort of, no matter what you create as a fictional novel, there's going to be something from your memory, from your past, you know, based on this town or this person or that. I mean, because that's your experience, so that's what you do. I'm sure everybody would find that out.
Well, and what I discovered over my 30 plus years is that there are lots of stories kind of hidden that I know about that I was able to kind of massage to create the fictional versions. But look, pieces of that I knew something about somewhere. For my work.
Yeah, but I should have mentioned, by the way, as well, not just an author, but an award-winning author and bestseller on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon Kindle as well. So, you know, it's not just an author. It's you know, one of the good ones. Sort of thing. What was the first one you wrote, Randy?
The first book that I wrote was about 10 years ago. It was a thriller called Leave No Child Behind.
Oh, right.
And it was a thriller about a terrorist takeover of a high school in Ohio, and the teacher who works with a volunteer that happened to be in the building to defeat the terrorist cell that had invaded her building.
Wow, interesting. How did that go? I mean, obviously, with the first book, you always learn, and you never stop learning. In fact,
did it? It did fine. It won a national award. It won the Silver Award, which means the second best thriller of the year from Reader's Favorite. ReadersFavorite.com. So it did well. It sold okay. It did pretty good. I mean, you know, got in the top 10%, but it's not as good of writing. Now, when I look back on that, I see how much I've learned over the past 10 years, especially as I've been writing I've done a lot more writing in the past 6 or 7 years than I did prior to that. And, you know, it's like anything else. The more you write, the better you get. The work at your skill.
Exactly. And the other thing is that, yeah, you know, I've had a lot of people on the show over the years who, you know, they get the book done and they get the book in their hand. They think that's it. People don't realize that that's when the real work starts, especially these days, you know, to get the knowledge of the book out there, to get people to actually even pick it up to read it. And that's something you never learn enough about. Did you find that?
No. I have to admit, I was as naive as everybody else when I started down this path, and I was stunned to find out just how great a task that is. You know,
there,
in this country alone, there are 300,000 new titles released every year.
Yeah.
And there are six million titles on Kindle. So just to get a reader to get some eyeballs on your book is very, very difficult and always a marketing challenge. The only thing that kind of makes me feel a little better is, you know, it's kind of the mark of the world. I've talked to some best-selling authors, and they tell me that they have to do a ton of work, too. The company doesn't do it for them.
So yeah.
Even if you're one of the name ones, they're still out there pounding the pavement and doing all the electronic stuff that they have to do to kind of get the word out.
Yeah, I mean, I get... Steve Berry comes on the show every year. He's been on the show for about the last 9 years. I mean, one of the things I always use for his example is, of course, it was 10 years of rejections before he got his first book accepted. But he comes on the show and he gives us, you know, what the book has just come out. And he's always got one that's ready for the next year and one that he's just started writing. So, you know, he always comes on and he always shares information and stuff like that, which is great. And, you know, we get, 25,000 listeners around the world on an average. And so, you know, it's the name gets out there.
Well, and I really appreciate that because I tell my audiences when I'm talking to them, I do a lot of in-person appearances and in-person author talks. And I tell every one of them, I say the only way a small guy like me gets noticed is word of mouth, people hearing about it.
Exactly.
Reading the book, passing it on, going, I've got to check this guy out.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been very fortunate in that one. It's gone well the last couple of years.
I used to say that my first book, I guess it was, you know, it was a young adult book. And used to sort of people sort of say, oh, well, I you know, queue up for the book appearances, the signings and that. Well, you go to a bookstore, it's more so in those days, about 10 years ago. And, you know, you're there for a few hours. You might have 6 or 7 people come up to see you. 2 want to know the way to the bathroom.
Right.
You know, one thinks you work there. But, and that's it. You've forgotten. But in the YA world especially, the bloggers are the things that puts the name out there. I call them the ShamWow of literature because they just soak everything up. And the name gets out, somebody blogs about it, they could have 2,000 followers. And out of those people who, you know, you might get sort of 500 read their blog, there might be about 20 out of that 500 think, that book sounds good, I'm going to have a read and blog about it. And it just spreads. And the thing is, once that's done, then somebody searches for you online and they'll find that. It's not like you've gone and forgotten.
Right. And one of the things I do is, like, as I'm working the marketing process, is I go and Google myself and see what comes up.
Yeah.
And that in itself is an interesting and revealing situation. I worked very hard in that area, put a lot of time in.
Yeah, hello? Uh-oh, I think I lost him. Okay, I'm going to redial him. Oh, no, you're there. Okay, I lost you for the moment there, Randy. Okay, you're back again now.
I said I spend probably as much or more time doing the marketing work than I actually do doing the writing work.
Indeed, now. That's what you've got to do. You've got to do. And your second book, Blood on the Chesapeake, that sort of really launched you on your path.
It did. I've been one that became this past summer became a Amazon and Barnes & Noble bestseller. It won the first award, a gold award from Literary Titan. It's done very, very well, and it's kind of launched the other. So I have a trilogy out now.
Right. Almost.
The book will be out next week.
Right. Because, yeah, that was your first one. The second one was The Crimson at Cape May, which again won awards. And
right. It actually garnered three national awards. The Gold Award from Literary Titan, the Silver Award for the second best mystery of the year for Reader's View, and the Crown Heart of Excellence from IndieTale Magazine.
Okay, good.
Very pleased. And all the books, the books have garnered about a dozen, somewhere between 12 and 20 five-star reviews from professional reviewers,
both right
in this country and abroad.
So that's terrific.
I'm very pleased with the response they're getting.
Oh, crikey, yeah. When you set off, did you intend to write a trilogy, or was it just the first one started and you think, oh, I need to finish this off, yeah, I need to spread this a bit more?
I had always had a kind of a trilogy. There's a romantic arc that follows through all three of the stories.
Uh-huh.
And that romantic part is kind of fulfilled by the third book. So that part kind of drove it. And I don't know that I'll end with that, but that was kind of my plan. I still have, like you said, you know, I'm first a storyteller. I think I still have a good story or two in me.
Right.
But I'm actually working on a different series right now that I'm just getting ready to start, so I'm not really sure. So the direct answer to your question is, was it always planned as a trilogy? I think I put the first book out to see how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
When it did very well, I decided I needed to plot out at least two more entries in the series
right
and see what happens.
Well, because
that's kind of where I'm at.
This is the Haunted Shores mystery series, and as you stated, next week, I think it's September the 12th, isn't it, if I remember right, you have at the moment, final part of the trilogy coming out, as in Scarlet at Crystal River. Have you had people pestering you, saying, when's the last one going to come out? I'm waiting to know what happened.
Yes, I've had quite a few online pre-ordering and asking, when are we going to find out what happens? One of the things that I really enjoy about these books is it's been able to give me a chance to explore some undiscovered gems and share those with the readers of these small towns
mm-hmm.
that I have found to place these stories in. And readers, I think, enjoy as much that as they do the mystery and the ghost story as well.
Right.
I'm anxious to see how they like the Florida one.
Indeed. And this is, I mean, it's a bit of a, as you say, this sort of areas, stories from areas in the country and stuff like that. But it's a sort of a, as I say, shivers down the spine type book.
My book, terrifying,
yeah,
but eerie. One of the things that I've tried to do, Barry, in my book is, I for all of the books, I do a great deal of research. There are lots of topics in the book that I, when I started out, I didn't know about. So, for example, in Blood on the Chesapeake, there's a lot about sailing. But when I started the book, I didn't know anything about sailings. Mm-hmm. So I had to do a lot of research and actually learn stuff myself and sail. But one of the areas I did the most research on is in ghosts.
Right.
And most people may not know this, but there is kind of an emerging consensus of knowledge, of scientific knowledge, on how individuals from the spirit world interact with the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tried to capture, to stay as close to that consensus of knowledge as possible. Most of the ghost books out there fall into one of two categories. Either they are the Stephen King type, the type that will scare you to death and keep you up all night, or they are the kind of what I call Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah.
Where the ghost is often humorous and usually in cozies. And I was trying for something different than either of those. So my ghosts are not terrifying, but they are kind of eerie and creepy. But there's also what they do in terms of what they can do in the story are very close to how ghosts have been documented of having interacted with human beings.
Right. Yeah.
So I do stretch credibility, and I do use some, I've used some literary license, but I've tried to stay very close to reality if I can.
Well, that's great.
And that's a little scary.
That's terrific. So, yeah, we talked about the thriller side. What other, have you done other genres apart from these?
No. I did the thriller. The first book was a thriller.
Right.
And these three are all mystery / ghost story, or sometimes they're classified as paranormal mysteries.
Ah, that's
the book. I'm
paranormal mysteries is the common term we've had quite a few times on the show. So, and that to me, that's what they are. I mean, they're paranormal and they're mysteries. So that must be one of the best ways to describe it. I mean, you must have had some early readers of this last book, new book that's coming out next week. What sort of response have you had back from them?
The early readers have done really given some remarkable reviews. One of the professional reviewers, a group called NN Light Book Reviews, Book Heaven, said Overbeck is a masterful writer and instilling shivers down the spine.
Hmm.
The organization that gave the You lost me.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know whether we got some gremlins here or still watering all the cables. But yes, you're back. Anyway, carry on from where you were.
When I don't know what you missed.
I was asking you about the reviews for the pre reviews for the book, and you saying about you've had some good reviews and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. The NN Light is the one that said, masterful writer instilling shivers down the spine. Readers, you said, a roller coaster of a mystery hurtling up and down hills and sharp corners until the very end. And the third one that's come in thus far, well, there's one more, is Literary Titan, the one that gave it the Gold Award, said, a suspenseful paranormal novel with compelling characters and an enigmatic mystery that drives the story to a riveting conclusion. So I'm very pleased with the response that it's drawn so far.
Okay. And did you say that there's sort of like a bit of romance thread through the trilogy?
I'm sorry, would you ask that question
again? I gotta say, did you not say there was some sort of possibly even like a romance thread through the trilogy?
Yes. Yes. The hero of the books is a history teacher and coach who also happens to see ghosts. And in the first book, he meets and falls in love with a local from the Chesapeake Bay area. Her name is Erin Cavaney. Now, Erin does not have any paranormal abilities, but Erin becomes a good partner and support for Daryl as he is put to the test trying to find justice for the ghosts that seek him out, asking for his help. And so they, their romance begins in the first book. It moves through some problem areas in the second book, and eventually moves to being in to engagement. In the third book, they move to getting married.
So okay,
that is the romantic arc that's in the book.
Are you starting? Are you writing anything new right now?
Yes, I'm working on a new a mystery set in the 90s in the schools. It's the story of a middle school, fifth graders actually, who get a hold of an illicit drug similar to LSD but different, and end up dying.
Oh, right.
Four of them are killed. And the administrator at the, in the school district, who's responsible for working with the police, is charged with investigating, finding out how the drugs are getting into the school, and then getting that person to justice. I'm working on that now. That will probably be finished sometime later this year.
That sounds terrific.
Like you mentioned before, there's always a project that I'm in the middle of.
That's it. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to gauge the time between writing and promoting, and the hard part is you've got to do the two things, and that's one of the hardest things, I believe.
Well, and then I balance that with so I'm doing actually three things. So most right now, more of my time is devoted to marketing, mm-hmm. and then I'm also finishing the writing on this next book. And at the same time, I'm working on researching for the book that will follow. After.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great when you can get in that. I go back to Steve Berry. I mean, that's what he does. He has a three cycle. He has one come out, one he's finished writing, going into the editing stage, and the other one he's doing the research for. And I think that's what you've got to do this day and age, because people always, you know, they don't really, people want the second book as soon as the first one's out, sort of thing. It's just how people are. They get into a book and they can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, and usually that's the question I'll get when they'll go, well, when is the next one coming out?
Yeah.
So the question I'm going to start to get next week, when this book starts becoming readily available, people will read it and will be writing back going, well, aren't you going to do another one?
Yeah, yeah. If three's not enough, can't you do a prequel? Can't you do a further one? Or yes, that's going to be it, as you say. That's the questions you're going to be asked. Okay, well, go ahead.
And I already have a plot idea for the fourth book if I decide to go there. So I'll be ready for that answer
that's
when the question
good.
Comes.
That's great. Well, Randy, time is catching up with us. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find a bit more about you and, of course, all your books.
All right. First of all, I'd ask them to check out my website, which is real easy to know. It's simply authorrandyoverbeck.com. So if they put that in Google, it'll come right up. It has all of the information and background on me, as well as each of the books. They can also reach me by email at, real easy, randyoverbeck@authorrandyoverbeck.com. They can catch up with me on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm @overbeckrandy. And I think that should about do it. I think that's most of the ways that they might want to get a hold of me. Oh, no, I forgot. Facebook page as well. And that's author Randy Overbeck. And, of course, the books can be purchased on any platform. Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Apple, Kobo. The books are available on all of those. And the first two books, Blood on the Chesapeake and Crimson at Cape May, are both available on the audio version as well as on the as in print and e-books.
Okay, that's great. I mean, it's interesting, more and more of the audiobooks, especially this day and age. It's just, you've got to have an audiobook almost, it seems. But it's good that you've already got the two out there and that, so that's really good. Anyway, good luck with the book launch next week, Randy. I'm sure it's going to be another big success, and more awards to you, I'm sure, is going to come with it. And thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Well, Barry, thank you so very much for having me, and I look forward to hearing from your listeners and seeing what they think about my books.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. My guest this week on today's show. Pretty terrific, wasn't it, eh? Really enjoyable. Randy Overbeck. R-A-N-D-Y O-V-E-R-B-E-C-K. And as he says, his website, author Randy Overbeck, all one word, authorrandyoverbeck.com. Lots of stuff there. I was looking at it while I was chatting to him and looking at all the different bits and pieces. Really good. Well, I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...